Albie, please tell me you're still not using the 1 minute chart.
Well, you make it sound like I'm a bit of a crackhead. Off it 6 months ago now. Haven't been using the 1M. And I think a big thing for me was actually coming off that time frame and realizing that, you know, for me to scale and grow my capital to size, which is the ultimate goal, longevity in the game, it wasn't sustainable. And I think a lot of people out there are still utilizing that time frame. While it's great, I've made money on it. There's also a lot of areas which I think we can really dig into why people are failing. You might take 5, 6, 7 losses before that win, and you're relying on risk reward. Now, yes, I get it. Risk reward mathematically can come in your favor, but what is that causing detrimentally to the trader taking 5, 6 losses? And someone who can speak from experience, it wasn't nice. You know, how do you recover from that when you go downstairs and say to the missus, "Now's your day. Yeah, I took 5 losses on EU and then it went without me." Having that mindset to then take the 6th trade, I don't feel like people have that in them.
I'm sure that's fine on small amounts of money. Like, most people wouldn't be bothered about that if you're trading a small amount of capital. But let's be honest, when you start thinking about 500K, 700K, million plus, your mind's very, very different. I don't think there's many traders out there that, even if they're doing it right now, because I know what people are thinking, like, well, I use the 1 minute, I use this. It's not about the time frame per se. It's the ideology behind thinking that the lower that you go, the more profit that you'll make. And that same type of mindset that, well, it doesn't matter. It's probabilities, it's mathematics. As long as I keep taking these trades, like, one of them is going to hit. One of them is going to make me 20%. But think about it. Imagine your position size was even just 7K per position. Do you really think if we were to take traders that were competent, these are not incompetent traders, we were to take, say, 10 of them, every single one of you now are risking 7K per position. And then right now they're only comfortable with 100K. So they're risking £1,000 per trade. Do you really think they're going to go and take, you know, 35K of drawdown and be like, it's fine. I'll just get one, I'll go gym, I'll come back, I'll just take another trade, I'll go into a New York session, I'll look for something there. They just wouldn't. And it's got nothing to do with, okay, so maybe they need to work on their emotions then. It's got nothing to do with that. It's just, that to me is just a horrible way to trade, to always be thinking about it doesn't matter because eventually one trade's going to hit. Talk to us about that, right? Me and Ibby, we've not really come from that background. So we've not really been involved in it. I know, well, unless you've secretly been on the 1 minute.
No,
you off it
life.
As well?
No chance.
Are you sure?
No chance.
Now's the time.
Yeah,
never got anywhere.
Yeah, so obviously, like I say, you know, it's about going high time frame. You know, I hope people are doing that. You know, top down analysis daily, all the way down to the 1M, and you're using sort of like your area, supply and demand, your POI as an entry point on the 1 minute. Mm-hmm. Now, the issue with that is POIs might be 20, 30 pips in size. And on the first approach in, you're sort of waiting for perhaps maybe like some kind of shift on the 1M, and you'll get in with like a 2, 3, 4 pip stop. Now, the problem with that is the area may be correct, but you might get taken out. But then that kind of logic is, we'll get back in because it's still valid until that POI is violated. Now, the problem with that is, yes, there's ways. There'll be people sitting at home going, oh, but you can avoid the first tap and you can implement this, you can implement that. But I'm talking about the general consensus is that's your level you want to trade from. So you need to get in. And the lower time frame obviously gives a smaller stop loss, which then gives you a higher risk reward. Now, the issue with that is you might take 2, 3, 4 losses. And the problem I found was if you didn't take that first tap, and it worked, you were left there like, well, I'd forecast all this top-down analysis and the trade's gone without me, but I was hesitant because I thought it could come lower or it could do this. And now I know the market, we never know what's going to happen. And anyone claiming they know what's happening, it's just a liar, because I've gone down the rabbit holes of losing, figuring out why I lost and trying to refine it. And then what happens is you implement this new thing to your system and then the next trade would have just worked fine based on a probabilistic manner, right? It was kind of that thing of realizing I was getting the direction right. Very often my analysis was right, but then the entry was the problem. And also I was putting myself in drawdown that I was like, you know, this is tough. And I developed a way in the end to kind of just, when I was making money on smaller scales, you're talking 140K capital this time. When I was making that money, I would make 2, 3, 4%, lock it off, get paid. And that was how I found that way. But every time I tried to scale, I was finding myself in too much drawdown. The numbers were big. And I actually remember FTMO reaching out to me one day and saying, your lot size is too big. This was before they had the max 50 lot. Mm-hmm. Your lot size is too big and the way you're trading is too aggressive. If you don't trade your trading style, we're taking your account off you. And that was when I was like, oh shit, like they're actually clocking onto this. Because the problem is when you're looking at 3, 4 pip stops with 140K account, I was putting down 120 lots. Like, these are big lots, right? And I'm looking for it to move, say, 10 pips and maybe get a 1-5 or a 1-4 or whatever. In the flip side, it was mentally damaging me because I was always prepared to just take loads of L's in the hope that one might work. And I found that for long-term scale, and obviously we've had conversations about this before when I reached out last year saying, you know, I want to really scale my capital now. I realized I couldn't do that because, like you say, on 7 figures or on these funded accounts with lots of drawdown rules and whatnot, you can't be taking that many losses. So then the general consensus is drop your risk to 0.25. Mm-hmm. But in my head, I found that was making the challenge even harder because I've got to make so much more R
exactly.
to actually hit that target. That's kind of...
I've always found that funny though, the logic, right? Why, where we've seen the pattern with people, they want to know more about the markets, but then they'll trade a system that allows them to have such a low strike rate, which completely contradicts that logic of knowing more about... Surely if you know more about the markets, you'd lose less, right? But I'm yet to find a trader who's got a 90%+ strike rate and is averaging an extremely high risk to reward. That doesn't happen. First time, you'll remember this, the first time I came across this was April 21. So a friend of my brother's, cut long story short, he trades for an institution. He did for over a decade for Citibank. When I was speaking to him, I told him, because he's not on social media or anything like that, about all this hoo-ha about traders at the time wanting to trade like banks. As ridiculous as we see that now, this is the ironic lesson here, that people would see the opposite and the contrary at the time, right? Now everybody's turning around and saying, yeah, that was foolish. We've said the same things for the past 4, 5, 6 years, all at which the times people said are foolish and silly and now coming around again. So if we're saying something now, take it for what we say now. This friend of mine mentioned how ludicrous it is because the banks trade for a different reason to we do. They don't trade to make money, they trade to move money and so many other reasons. And so no matter what I think it is, right? When we come into trading, many of you watching this will be able to relate to it as well, that we get made to feel stupid, right? You're gambling, you're doing something that's out of the norm, you're taking a different route, you're this, you're that. And your identity gets crushed over time, right? And what happens, and every trader this can relate to this no matter what, they want to prove to other people or to themselves that they're actually a lot smarter than they are because they feel like they're silly, right, doing trading. They feel like they're silly sitting behind a desk at home, so unprofessional, these kind of things, right? I get it. And what happens is they want to make, and the only way they can do that, the medium by which they can do that is their charts. So the more complicated something looks, the smarter they feel. But in turn, if that actually made money, we'd have millionaires walking around everywhere. We don't. Right, it's people are checking their savings accounts every 10 days. It's not how it should be. And again, they're investing money into education, whereby people have come into a position of premature leadership, which we'll talk about in a second, because I really want to dive into that topic because it's fucked up to a different level. But again, going back to your point with lower timeframes, what would you say was your turning point? Because this will help me cater the conversation better.
Yeah, so my turning point was obviously having the realization that I was going downstairs upset. Like I would generally be frustrated and I would be always thinking, I'm meant to be doing this for a career, you know, because I've always seen trading as this long-term vehicle to help me grow my wealth, help me diversify, but also have the freedom, right? And I'm going downstairs and I'm seeing the kids and they're like, hey daddy, how's your day? And I'm like, hang on a minute. Like I'm very conscious of the kids growing up because I've been in environments when I was younger where what you kind of hear, you kind of make and it becomes your belief, right? So I didn't want them to see that, oh, daddy's sad or daddy's miserable. So that was one of them. And the other one was, I've always been a massive advocate of mindset. If anyone's followed the channel for a long time, I've been pushing mindset for a long time. And the fact that I realized probably I'd say early 2021, late 2020, that mindset really played a part in trading. And that was because I had an edge, but I was failing to execute the edge, or I was doing things, basically just doing dumb shit. And I as I call it, getting in my own way. So a trade had set up, I'd find a way to talk myself out of it, or I would take a trade during news because liquidity and volume and you can get in and make money and all this sort of stuff. So I've always had that emphasis on it. But the biggest thing for me was obviously really digging into that and actually going, right, how can I improve? Which is obviously when me and Mark met in December time last year. And obviously you'd mentioned Rewired. And obviously I jumped on that and gone, you know what? Like I'm gonna invest in myself and I'm gonna see what it's about. And honestly, that point was just a huge turning point for me because it made me realize and it made me dig into these problems. Rather than trying to run from them, hide from them, find this new education or this new system that would fix it, I realized maybe I was the problem. Maybe I needed to address the issue at hand. So that kind of led me down that route, but also realizing I can't keep going on like that anymore. Like I just can't do it.
So, look what you did. You did something different.
Yeah.
How many of you actually interrupt the pattern as to what you're doing? How many people do you reckon actually, I speak to people on a day-to-day basis, not even Falcon members, that will tell me the same story thinking that it's different. We're so different, but alike as human beings, right? You can put 10, 20 traders in a room, have a different story, but they'll have the same roadblocks in front of them. And only one of them, as you've mentioned, will take a different route and will see different results. If it didn't work, you wouldn't have scaled up your money.
No, that's it.
And I think that people need to get this into their thick skulls. I don't see, I get it all the time. The biggest reason I think traders don't win is ignorance. Genuinely, I think it's ignorance. Because if you're not ignorant and you're paying attention, you're attentive to the right things, you will make money. Like I said before, we're all disciplined, but we're just disciplined at the wrong things. Right, starting out as traders, we're disciplined at doing things that lead us down treacherous cycles. For example, that guy mentioned in your recent video, over 108 funding accounts. That's ridiculous.
When I see it, I just had to sit down and just have a moment for the guy, because in my head I'm thinking, how is someone like that feeling at that point? But the problem there is, at what point does he realize, because he's probably seen it going around on socials now, the point is he realize maybe he needs to change something, maybe something's broke. And I think that's what's going on at the moment in this whole industry. Not enough people are identifying, actually, something's broke, I need to find a way to fix it. Mm. They're just going, I will keep bashing my head off the wall in the hope that it will just fix itself. And I was that person. I did that thing. And then I very quickly realized I removed my whole environment. I changed so many things as well. It wasn't just like, oh, it's the system. There was so much more I had to change on myself, which I'm sure we'll get into. But for you guys as well, like obviously within Falcon, you know, everybody talks about how disciplined, how well people's minds are. What would you say is the issue for people coming into this industry, not addressing that issue? Because people don't like talking about mindset. They just don't. People will literally be watching this and they'll be fuming about that we're having a conversation on mindset. They'll be like, why are you not talking about technicals?
They don't actually understand what trading is. That's what the issue is. Yeah. And they're not being taught by the correct type of people. That's the biggest problem. They don't really know what it is. So they hear, I'll give you an example. They hear these terms like treat trading like a business. They're like, that sounds cool. What the fuck does that mean? Mm. And they don't understand, but we quantify it in Falcon. So people know what they need to do to treat it like a business. And then they just, what Ibi was alluding to earlier, they're just very ignorant. They just don't pay attention. If I was to take, and this is not, it's not like Falcon's immune to this, our students are immune to this. We have, of course, exceptional students, but you're still going to have students that don't pay attention. We're banging our head against a brick wall trying to teach someone that has all the capabilities, that has all the promise, but just won't pay attention. You'll say, go down the street, turn left, they'll turn right. That's the type of people that we're dealing with. And it's because most people are ignorant and they think they have the answers. That's the problem. If you could just take most traders that have failed, and if you was to be able to reverse engineer their entire process of what they've done, and they looked at it from like a CCTV point of view, they'd be like, you didn't do what you was meant to do almost 95% of the time. And you're confused by why you're not making money. And when people say, oh, it's really important that you should surround yourself with good people, goes through one ear and out the other, and they still go out on a Friday night with their childhood friends because they can't let go of it and listen to bullshit. And then they listen to their mom and dad, they listen to their siblings, are you still making money from that trading? And then they start entertaining it, start justifying it. I'm not getting the support. And then they start seeking for the support. Mm. Like we could go down about 20 different reasons as to why. If you're not guided by someone that is well seasoned, that has done it, sustained it, traded through different market cycles, know what it's like to trade, funded capital, personal capital, investor capital, investing beyond that, then you're going to incur problems. Because what we have in trading, which is really unfortunate, is that someone who's a little bit further along than someone in the journey will seem like an expert to someone who hasn't got a clue what they're doing. And you can make money really easily. Like we had a podcast, our most recent funded trader podcast. He made 7K within like really early on in his journey. He made 7K, but he was just in the right trade at the right time, over risked. But you can't do that in other professions. And what you were talking about earlier about if it hits this one, we'll just take another one. It's not invalidated yet, so I'll take the other one. Imagine explaining that to someone who didn't know anything about trading and said, forget about like the POIs and like the technical terms. If they just said, if I take a loss, I'll just do this. I'll wait for another hour, I'll do a list. You'd start to explain it and feel like, I'm explaining gambling.
Yeah, you are.
And although you could say, oh, trading is a bit gambling to a degree, right? Comes under that kind of bracket, if you will. But that's like the extreme side of it, which is just keep hitting it. It's the same person going, just go on a roulette wheel. I know it's not the same in terms of probabilities, but it's the same ideology. It's like, don't worry about the losses. Just keep spinning. And that anxiousness and nervousness is not what breeds successful traders. There's no way in a million years proper investors would look at that individual and go, yeah, I think I could trust you with my money. Or people on YouTube giving them advice on just keep buying fund assessments, just keep buying funding assessments. Like that is influencing the youth and even people. Do you know where it's scary? I don't mind when someone who's not switched on gets influenced by it because they're not really to blame. Like they don't really know, they're not aware of it. So you have to have the compassion there. When I see people that I actually know quite personally, they're switched on and then they get influenced by clowns. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? How can you not see this? And it's not so common. Just going back to your question without going on in too detail, people could just listen better, but to the right people. And then the question then goes, who is the right people?
Cognitive dissonance is another point I want to bring up, right? Because again, people listening to this podcast will probably have the symptom of the same disease. Right, they will sit here, they'll ignore the message, and they'll come back 3 years later, I promise you, and they'll think, you know what, if I'd just listened from the beginning, I would have actually been successful if I'd done it 3 years ago. Mm. Why would you want to wait 3 years for that happen, is my point. But I could easily sit here, I could bullshit everybody, and I could be, you know, typical trader startup, like everyone's on a microphone now, ironically nowadays, right? I could dress it well, and I swear to God, people would listen. It's the whole analogy of if I had a Ferrari next to me and I could talk utter nonsense, people would believe me if I'm talking absolute nonsense. But if I'm actually saying something of value, of truth, so say I've not got a Ferrari next to me, no one wants to listen. So some of you watching will probably have the symptom, the same problem, which is why you're probably still not making money. Not probably, definitely why you're still not making money. Mm. That's ignorance. right? So you got to get a number two. My point here is very important with what you mentioned about mentorship and leadership. Would I rather learn how to box with someone who's had 20 fights, right? 20, 15 to 20 fights, or learn off someone like Tyson or Freddie Roach or these big trainers, right? If I had the option, that is, right?
Yeah, of course.
If I had the option to it, why would I turn down Freddie Roach? Why would I turn down, I don't know, the big trainers, right? Oliver Humphrey, like, there's loads of them. So people are seeing that. There's actually so much accessibility to knowledge and information now. They've got the choice there, and it's out of their own dissonance, the cognitive dissonance, that they're choosing to push it aside because they think maybe I'm the anomaly who can make it work with the latter method. Right? It doesn't work that way. 99%, okay, of the hotshot leaders today actually stemmed from Falcon. They did. People don't know this. They literally did. We're not saying that to say me. It's just people are not told this and they're not made aware of it. You know, and so they get labeled transparent. I was on Instagram Live the other day, and I won't mention names on here for the sake of your podcast, but a name got brought up and said, you know, yeah, you and X, Y, and Z person are very transparent. And I said, actually, this person was a Falcon student. Oh, I didn't know that. I've been mentored by him for the past 2 years. He didn't even tell me that. Check that one out. And guess what? When you guys start making money and you do scale up your accounts and your passive funding accounts, which you're so in desire of and in pursuit of, because you think once you've done that, your life's complete. Believe me, you're going to be in for a shock. It's not complete. You start making money, let's say you made 10, 15 or 20 grand or more. Where the hell are you going to invest that? You're going to go to your guru now who has never, can't even spell investment, right? It's just absurd. And that's the literal reason why we're here as well, is not to say Falcon is the best or whatever. We're far ahead in terms of professionalism and structure. We've seen that, right? The foundations have been laid. 2 or 3 years these companies have been around and they've started to cripple now because they've set weak foundations and now people are starting to see. We've been around 6 years, coming on to 7, right? So it's not for that. It's more so because I know there's people like me who left college who are naive and gullible, who genuinely have good intentions and want to make money, and then they just run into idiots. I've never used so much profanity on a podcast, but it's just coming from a place of passion.
I can see the passion, and that's why I wanted to, you know, obviously have the conversation with you guys, because I think it's a very powerful topic that has to be discussed, because there's so much woo-woo and fluff out there and people do get misled. And I get messages consistently from people and I can see them. They're broke. They're just broken inside. And, you know, people will reach out to me for help and advice, as I'm sure they will for you, but they actually have a mentor they're paying. But that mentor is not able to give said advice.
So common.
And it's just, I'm at a point where I'm actually, when I meet someone new, I don't say I'm a trader. I'm not sure how you guys are with this, but I feel quite embarrassed to say it because people assume that trading is this typical gambling, oh, I've got a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, so where's yours? That's the connotation. Do you find when you, like, again, not going off topic too much here, but when you meet people, are you proud to say, or what the industry's becoming? Are you a little bit like, actually, it's going to sound like I'm in finance?
No, so I'm a drug dealer. just easier. The house, I'll be like, look, it stacks up. You know, so no, I really just divert it all the time. And not because, not so much about the embarrassed part, it's just, I know they have a perception of what trading is, but more so I just can't be bothered to entertain their conversation, right? And that is just being a bit more private, you know, not sharing too many things. I think that's a part of just a life lesson within itself. Mm. That when you meet people, one of the most important things is that, you know, keep your cards close to your chest straight away. You don't know what that individual is like. You don't know if they're gossips. You don't know if they have counter intention. Like, these parts are real. Like, you could be talking to someone, but deep down, they're jealous, right? Or they've got envy towards you. Like, this is why, again, when I look at the leadership out there in this space, it's diabolical. And going back to the original point, which I think is important, is, it's not that we sit there and want every single person that's been in Falcon to go, hey, I was in Falcon before, now I'm a mentor. That's not the point. Is that what people don't know and don't understand, which they will never admit, is that they left Falcon out of spite, right? And if we are the average of the 5 people that we spend our most time with, when I look at students and think, you're now learning from someone who left out of spite, even when they was doing well, would have the audacity to throw shade, even when I helped them. I mean, I've got screenshots. Like, this is a thing. Mm. I could go into a lot, right? But I'm not going to be that petty because we're focusing on the bigger picture. We've built a lot of success with our fund. However, when I see that, I'm thinking, well, you learn from someone who's the same person who built something off of quicksand and spite and negativity and lies and bullshit. Yet now you're a mentor. So if they can do that to us, what do you think they're going to do to the students? You think they have their best interests at heart? Fuck no. All they're thinking about, because people say, oh, but yeah, but you're the same. Our actions speak louder than words, right? We do things all the time that would be non-profitable for us, and they don't even see it. The amount of things that we put in place for students to make sure, look, I want people to be able to come in and go, right, if I listen well, I'm not here just to learn a trading strategy. I'm here to actually have a secure, longer-term plan where I can build an actual trading career, what you were talking about earlier, like an actual trading career, not flipping funded accounts. Like, that's not going to last. This bubble is going to be finished. If you actually look at the space, what happens every so often, every couple of years, someone new comes up, they go, they come, they go, And it's always some sort of different thing. It was SMC in the earlier stages. And then now it's funded accounts. Like funded accounts weren't popular back then and now they're everywhere. And before, even funded accounts, people used to take them a bit more serious. It was like, right, I'll go for funding when I'm ready. Now it's just a joke.
Yeah, it is.
But that's a bubble. That won't last very long. Like, what's the stat? It's under 1%.
It's under 1%, yeah. Of the big firms, it's under 1% actually get a funded account and then get a payout, which is mental, outrageous. But
so
I think...
Why do you think no one looks at that? Why does no one look at that stat and go, yeah, it's definitely my edge?
Surely it must not be complicated as well.
You know why I think it is? It's because if you're on somewhere like... And again, you know, this is not to be negative. This is to give a valid point. If you are on Instagram, YouTube or Twitter, everyone wins, right? So I try and get this message across and obviously some people take it, some people don't, but you are seeing highlight reels, right? And I think what happens is when you see this stat of 1%, your head's like, right, so 1%, but then you're seeing every person with 1 to 10 pass, made money. And I get it, the barrier to entry is a lot lower and touching on people not taking them serious. I think where before trading, all right, you needed a substantial amount of money if we went back, say, 5 years mm-hmm. to be a trader and make money. Because if you had a grand and you were trying to make 3% a month, it's nothing, right? So you definitely back then had a higher, you know, it was higher to get in. You needed an investor or you needed to borrow money off your mom and dad or whatever it might be. Whereas now, someone's saying to you, here's 500, give me $500, here's 100K. Everybody can go, well, I've got 500 quid. Like, let's go for it. And I think that's also where the stat is so bad, because you are getting a lot of numpties come in that have been down the pub with their mate Dave and he's gone, oh yeah, I got one of these FTMOs. And they're like, oh, how'd you get that? Oh, I just give 500 quid, mate. You only got to make 10%. And they're like, oh, sweet, I'll do that. And then the prop firms are just cleaning up because they're designed in a way to not benefit, right? Because exactly. The stats are high. So I think that kind of stat isn't the best because of some of these low barrier entries. However, I think nowadays 500 quid to people is nothing. I think they'll just keep going and going and going and going. And, you know, it shows because there are stats where some people are failing 20, 30, 40 accounts before realizing there's a problem.
They're trying to be good investors, but they're terrible with their money in terms of investing it into the right things. They invest it into the wrong things, which is prop firm accounts when they're not ready, but not the correct education. So if you're trying to be a good trader, are you a good investor? You've got to learn how to manage your money correctly and put it in the right areas from the get-go. Yeah, they're all shit at that. Right. And that goes to show that people are frugal towards these things for no reason. I don't understand why. It's because, I do know why. Take that back. Because they don't see an instant ROI on it. Whereas with funding, you, in their head, they think, right, if I just make X amount of money, I'll be now qualified as a six-figure trader. I don't think, and I'm not taking away from anybody's success. Like I said, I'm the last person to do that. And people can check my Instagram or whatever. I've never, ever said this or done this, but I'm making it clear so no one misinterprets it. But if you've now passed a challenge and you just now got 100K, you're not a six-figure trader. You're managing six figures, you're not a six-figure trader. To be a six-figure trader means you've built the characteristic traits up to that particular point. Because what happens is, and it's like putting somebody who wins an amateur boxing match straight into a pro ring just because they've won one fight, right, against someone who was decent. They might have got a lucky shot on them. They've knocked them out, and now they've got the big title fight. They're going to get sent sideways. The reason for that is because they've not actually conditioned their body and mind to be able to facilitate, to fight in that ring. It's the same way with these traders. They're managing prop capital, they're scaling up, etc. It might even be a 3 to 5 month window or a period where the conditions are favoring them. 2014, you mentioned, people are milking impulsive runs and they couldn't even trade, and some of them are not even trading now, do they?
Exactly.
Right? So they get to that stage and then guess what? Life throws curveballs. The market conditions alter a little bit. It doesn't mean that now you have to change your system, but it means that the conditions alter. It's unknown territory. They've not built the mind, the infrastructure to be able to manage that correctly. So now because their pressure management skills are terrible, what's going to happen? They're going to go back to square one all over again. And they're going to think, I wasted that time. What was I doing? Because what the market can do is it can fool you into believing you're someone you're not overnight. For example, and every single trader will relate to this. If you're not related to it, you're not yet experienced enough. But let's say it's quarter one of the year and I'm looking at you as an example. Let's say I'm a really insecure, weak individual, unseasoned. I'm looking at you thinking, right, you've scaled up your money in Q1. You've gone from trading zilch to now, let's say, managing $100,000. You scaled from 40, 80 and more. And I might look at you and think, you've been trading half as long as me. You've made more money. Why am I not where I need to be? So this cycle begins, yeah? I know that your profits are not masking your mistakes, your issues, because the market can easily do that. How do I not know that? So you're sat there on a high. I'm amazing. I'm sat there on a low. However, check this out. This is where perspective edge comes in, because there's a different edge is a very misunderstood topic as well. But you go into it and I, at the end of Q1 now, I'm going to dive into all of my trading performance and most likely come to a solution as to why I performed the way that I did and how I should have performed and how I can bridge that gap going into Q2, which I know seems extremely logical and easy to think about now. And I'm telling you, nobody thinks that way. unfortunately, right? And so hopefully you guys can take a leap from that book. But now you're going to go into Q2, Q3, still questioning that money that I made, was it done legit? Because now I'm starting to lose a little bit more. I'm getting less trades. I'm break-evening a lot more. You're probably going to come to the end of Q3 till you realize, okay, that was a fluke. I need to start again. By Q3, I would have scaled up because I came down to my problems very, very quickly. This is why we always have said it from day dot, you need to look at where your trading is. And because of social media and because of all these things, this comparison comes in again. I know it's a saturated topic, guys, but you'll listen to this, it'll go in one ear and out the other. And if you pay attention to it and you're attentive correctly and you apply it correctly, what we're saying here, you will see a change in your trading guaranteed. Right. So there's an array of different topics there, but I wanted to bring that point up. It's very important. And if you've got terrible leaders who've not been through that or done it, well, then you're just setting yourself up to fail.
No, I really agree with that point because the social media point is one that I battled with before, especially like making content. I can relate to it in terms of views you get on your videos. I can also relate to it in terms of people progressing, right?
Of course.
Because you see people maybe that started later than you or people that you know that maybe fell off and then all of a sudden they're like, I'm a seven-figure trader. And you're like, whoa, yeah. What the hell? And what it does is it makes you think, I wonder what they've got that I haven't got. I wonder what they did that I didn't do. And this was definitely a road I went down, you know, where I was kind of like, oh, I wonder what they know. I wonder what that person... And what you realize is a lot of them are just in tune with themselves. They've actually gone and done the work on themselves, right? And I think this is where a lot of people get misconstrued because a lot of people think it's always the edge, you know, because a lot of people, when they say to me, when I post about mindset, one of the biggest common things I get thrown at me is the edge is what is important because the edge is what pays the bills. The technicals are the key, right? And people find it really hard to kind of find where mindset comes into that. But for me, it's like, you've got an edge that mathematically plays in your favor over probabilities, right? Again, another word, I don't think people understand probabilities. I think it's thrown around, but people don't actually get what it means. But I think what happens then is people go, my edge isn't work, it's broken, so I'm gonna find something else. And I say it like this, if you bought a brand new car and you got a dent in it, you wouldn't go and trade in the car because it's got a dent. You'd probably fix the dent, right? Especially if it's a brand new car. Whereas what people are doing in their trading is they'll get that dent by maybe having a bit of drawdown. Because again, if you're in drawdown, you're deemed this like shit trader all of a sudden. And they'll go and trade that whole system in for something new and shiny to only then get the dent again and again and again. And it's like, how many more dents are you going to get before you realize maybe you should fix the issue that's causing the dent? Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. And I feel like that's something nowadays that's just, I do. If I show a loss, people will comment, oh yeah, you didn't wait for this and that, and yeah, you're shit. And I'm like, I'm trying to be real here. Like, we lose. Anybody watching, if you're still thinking that trading somewhere secretly, someone's got this magic pot of gold and they're like, yo, now let's let him into the club, you're never going to lose again. You're just deluded because, I mean, unless you guys don't ever lose, then maybe you can come in.
This is my point. Even if there was someone out there who said, I can give you a system that will give you a 99.9% strike rate, the only reason and the only way that you'll be able to apply that system well is by not having a broken mindset. Like, oh my God, I don't see why people don't understand it. Like you said,
the fact that we have to have this conversation
is ridiculous.
When the stats are this bad is nuts.
Yeah.
How I know people are on crack. What, 100%?
Yeah, definitely.
Imagine saying, right, you're going to cross this little lake and there's alligators in there or whatever it is, and only under 1% of people make it to the other side. That's the kind of odds people take in trading and think that's fine. Yeah, they wouldn't do that. And the reason as to why is because usually how humans are, if you study them, things have to get so bad to the point that it's like,
yes,
they're forced to change. That's why they will keep repeating the mistake. But my question is, how, if you're a trader right now and you're actually involved in that and that's your ideology and that's how you're going to trade, can you afford to take the risk for the next 2 to 3 years and just keep on applying that type of logic? Let's just break it down, right? So what's the average funded assessment, rough?
To buy?
Yeah, let's say like a 50K account.
A 50K, right? Is probably like $300, something,
right?
Like,
so
that.
So we won't go extreme for the stats of like 100 assessments, yeah, or whatever, but we know people are taking like 5 to 10 quite casually. So at what point, how much money do they need to lose? Like 3K, 4K, 5K, until they realize, hold on a minute, I need to invest into my mindset. So then what do? They go and retraining a zone. I mean, who attributes trading in the zone to fixing their psychology?
Well, people do, but this is, again, another thing. I've read it and I've reread it. And you know what? When people attest to it helping, I used to reread it thinking I'd missed something, but yeah, it wasn't fixing the issue. And I was like, why is it not working? And I've said this before, I don't think any book or podcast has fixed my mind in the way it's been fixed, because it's all regurgitated surface level stuff. Yeah. And that's when people say, what's your biggest advice? Oh, go read Trading in the Zone, page 49, and it'll fix it. Yeah. And look, it's a good book, but I don't feel like it's what people need to truly fix the issue at hand.
They'll never fix it. They can read that into their heart's content. They'll just get more information, right? This is the point that we need to, and this is where I think it'll be really helpful for any trader, no matter what. Bearing in mind, you trade differently to us, right? Yet since you've been involved in Rewired, look at the difference that has been made in, forget about just trading.
Like, oh, my life, mate. I'm just different.
Like a completely different person.
It's just great. Even when I was watching some of my old videos the other week, and I was like, yo, I've changed. Like, I can really see it. Mm-hmm. And like, when I speak to my missus, she's like, you're always so happy now. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, even though I'm not yet where I perhaps want to be, I already feel like I'm doing it.
Yes.
So I've kind of got that kind of pedestal of, oh, when I get seven figures, I'm there. And when I say it, I said it in another video, I was like, I'm a seven figure funded trader. And people are like, oh, have you got it yet? I'm like, not yet, but I just feel like I've already got that identity.
But you've already scaled up a lot more.
Yeah,
than
oh yeah. I mean,
were.
I've gone from, I was trading, what, 140K, now we're at 600. Mm-hmm. And then I've got a couple of challenges once they're done. We're at seven figures. And I know it's only a matter of time before that's the goal. We're there.
It's not a coincidence. It's not like suddenly, within then, let's say, for example, you took Rewired. You didn't just suddenly get this magical system that came up. You still knew the technicals. You still knew your stuff. It's just you became the executor then to be able to scale that. So like at this point, if we look at the average trader that doesn't do that, they're just going to keep on fucking around for years and years and years. And I see so many people scale up that did invest into their mindset and realize, right, this is what I need to do. Is because information versus sequence is different. So what I mean by that is that in trading, you understand, you don't know the difference between your wins and losses, right? You could never predict the sequence. There'd be someone that thinks they can, right? But you can't. So you have to trust in that. And that's where it can play on your emotions. Now, if we're going to think about sequence of information, right? So this is the other side of the coin, which is people will often say to me, like, let's say they see at the surface level what the modules are in Rewired. They'll go, oh, I think I've heard of that. Oh, affirmations, I've heard of that as well. Of course you have. Just go and Google it. Like, you can Google all of the topics. Well, actually, some of them you can't because I've literally designed the terms.
Yeah.
But just generally speaking, you could Google some of the things and it would tell you information and knowledge. And the reason why Trading in the Zone or Market Wizards or anything else is not going to fix anything is because it's just giving you the information, but you've got the information from me. You can see it on the website. That's the information. Google, go and fix your mindset. You don't need Rewired, do you? Mm. But why is it that they can't? It's because it's not about the knowledge. It's the sequence of it. It's the recipe. The same way, imagine you gave a master chef 12 ingredients and then you gave it to an amateur. Are they going to produce the same dish?
No,
because it's about timing. It's about technique. It's got nothing to do with the ingredients because they're the exact same ingredients. Yeah, Michelin star chef, he's going to go, yeah, give me those same spices, eggs, onions, whatever. And then he's going to watch him and be like, why are you cooking the onions like that? Put it on low heat. Then take your time. There's a recipe to it. Yeah. And it's the same with mindset. There's a recipe to it. So that's why we've rewired. It literally rewires your neural pathways to think like a profitable trader, which is why if you go and invest into like mindset, it's going to teach you things about self-awareness a little bit, but you're not going to be able to apply it to a trading specific environment, which is what Rewired has done. And that's just the core modules.
Exactly. And the funny thing there to throw in, it just literally comes to me. When I was getting into this mindset stuff, I remember getting like a mindset guy reach out to me and he was like, if you can teach me sort of how to trade, I'll sort of do mindset with you. And obviously me at the time, I was quite naive and I was like, oh, cool. Like, he's a mindset coach. And I'll never forget, one of the things he told me to fix all my issues was be a robot. Okay. So I used to have on my trading view, I used to have think like a robot. It didn't work.
That joke.
No, honestly, that's what he said. Think like a robot.
Tell you why it doesn't work, right? It's because what is logical to do isn't always logical to do. Because if that was the case, going back to the same argument of traders that would take loss after loss, logically, do that. Now think about it. Let's say if you had an edge that produced, I don't know.
Never thought of that much.
30%, right?
Yeah.
Imagine an edge that produced 30% wins on average. So that when you actually got involved in the setups, they produced a 30% win or RR, right? But what if you had to take 20 losses to get there? Still logical, isn't it? Just keep taking the losses. It's fine. What are you on? Your 17th loss? 18th? 19th? How's your emotions? How are you getting on? You had breakfast today?
Eating baked beans.
Yeah. You'll be all over the place. That's horrible. And imagine each position size. Because bear in mind, people are looking up to people on YouTube of, oh, they've got seven figures collectively in prop firm capital, which could just go within a click of a finger.
Yeah.
If you're doing that on 6K position, 10K position, 12K position, 15K position, would you really do that? But logically, if someone said, don't worry, just take, you can take 20 losses and still make money. So what is logical to do, even though mathematically the logic is still there where it can win, you know emotionally that's horrible, so you wouldn't do it. Intuitively, you already know something seems a bit off by that. I probably shouldn't do that. So why are you doing it with 8 losses, 9 losses? Yeah. I mean, I would be shocked if I went into more than 4% drawdown. Now, that would be such a rare occurrence for us.
It's idealistic. It's not realistic. These are all idealistic things, but they're not realistic things at all. I remember a few years back, so when prop firms were first coming out, and I'd rang a guy, this is the same friend of mine I'm speaking about. I said, look, these prop firms are out. Do you know anybody who lends capital, like investor or whatever? He gave me a guy's number called Pete. And Pete had a 50% ownership in a hedge fund. So he wasn't lending money on behalf of the hedge fund. He was lending money privately, but this guy was a big shot. And anyway, next thing you know, he'd said to me on the phone, he goes, usually within the first 30 seconds, I put the phone on people. And I said, why is that? And he goes, well, as soon as I asked them the drawdown, they're going down 14, 15%. This is 2021, yeah? And I was so shocked hearing that. Now today, that's the normality. Because obviously, look, I've only stayed at Falcon, yeah? Profitable traders I've seen hasn't really gone past 3 to 5%. So for me to hear 15% in a month, I was shocked. But that's actually become the normality now. And so when you don't have structured and controlled learning, like we were just speaking about, and you're drowning in knowledge but starving in wisdom, as they say, right? So you're learning all these different things, but there's not a correct application or a structure by which you're putting forward this information. What's going to happen is you're going to know a lot about nothing in the end. You're going to sound and look smart, but you're not making money. I would rather be dumb and make more money than be someone who looks the part, looks like a trading geek, but I'm not making any money. The ways of professional trading and whatever, like if the people want to go down that route, go get a job or a scholarship or whatever at Goldman Sachs. You're not going to be that trader, and that's not me putting down anybody. There's nothing wrong with saying that you're a retail trader. This is a social construct that's been created to brainwash all of you in thinking. I don't know who formulated this.
You've all fallen for it. It goes into the elitist mindset. People love to be want to seen as like they've got something you don't have, or
alpha
see
mentality.
That's
right.
where it comes from.
Which I can see it. You know, it's that thing of, like I say for earlier, I put a loss up and someone will have a reason why I lost. They'll go, "Are you lost because of X, Y, and Z?" And I'm like, but in hindsight, anyone can be great like that, right? And that's the problem is, in hindsight, it's a wonderful thing because you can look over the loss and go, "Oh, yeah, it was because of this to the left and this. Oh, right, cool." But it was just you lost, and I think people aren't able to understand that they just lost. Like, without sounding like, I know that might sound really simple, but you either win or you lose. Yeah. If you just lost, just move on from it. And if you win, move on from it. But people have this euphoria of, I won, they're spinning on their head. But then when they lose, they're like in the bath crying with a glass of red wine. Like, I can't deal with it.
What's interesting about that, I've just done a recap on a couple of positions. Well, three positions. GU short, 4.4%. Kiwi Yen short, two of them break evens. Kiwi Yen positions, as you'll know, were better than the GU position.
Okay.
It was higher risk on the GU position. It had more margin for error in terms of what it is. So if I just looked at that, I was like, oh, two break evens, maybe I'll miss something. It's more detrimental to go down that rabbit hole versus looking at it. Remember why you got involved in trade in the first place. If I take that setup more often than not, that's going to hit 8, 10%, 12%. I don't care what the number is, but like structurally, it's with a higher time frame, it will commit. Because we take these setups over and over again. It just so happens it just didn't go. And it was two break evens in the same day, which is also quite a rare occurrence as well, to take like two break evens within the same sort of session, if you like. But being able to look at that objectively and going, these break evens are better than the 4.4.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to do. Mm. And the average trader is not doing that. Why are people's missed trades always wins?
This is
but that's something I want someone to think about. Why are the missed positions that you look at always wins?
Do you reckon it's a sense of, because I've done this, because I can attest to my, literally when you said it, it hit me and I looked at my old journal and I was like, yo, they were always like, I missed 10% today. And I think it's that thing of, because we were wrong, I'll use my perspective, you were wrong, the mind doesn't want to be wrong. So you're finding a way to validate that actually I was right. I was just not on the ball. I wasn't in the correct mindset, or I wasn't, you know, ready to trade. So I missed this position. So tomorrow I'll catch it. Because then it kind of counteracts that I actually lost, because people hold on to losing so badly.
Yeah.
I don't know if this must be an image problem where they've just, whether you come from a high sporting background or whatever it might be, yeah, we don't like losing. But in trading, if you don't get used to losing, you're not going to be a trader. Like, that's just the reality of it.
It's evolutionary psychology. This is what we're wired as. Like, we're not designed to lose as human beings. Losing was death. Like, if you lost against whatever, a threat in front of you, you're dead. So it's actually hardwired into our DNA. But I want to bring up a point you mentioned there as well to follow on from this. You know how you said GU was a higher risk position comparatively to NJ. What is this thing going around of people saying, risk more on higher probability setups and risk less on low probability setups? The same people advocate, I would say, as ambassadors for trading in the zone, go against the actual fundamental laws of trading in the zone. Like, if you'd risk less on GU and you made money on it, and you'd risk more on Kiwi Yen and you'd not made money on it, how would you be emotionally?
Yeah, that it's insane. The point I want to bring up on that, which is Abdu actually said it, funny enough, that really, really well. And he said a point that always sat with me for a long period of time. He said, what you see as red flags, most people see as green flags.
Yeah.
And then it works the opposite as well. And it's because of that. So you see things out there as like, oh, that's a green flag. That's a green flag. When reality is, to someone who knows what they're on about, they're literally telling you on YouTube, I'm incompetent and I'm trying to help people and I'm giving you incompetent advice. But because you're also more incompetent, you would never know this. Mm. But anyone who does know their stuff would look at that and be like, why are you even talking? Like, just knuckle down, focus on yourself, and you'll probably make more money by not actually trying to help people. Just help yourself. Like, focus on yourself.
Yeah.
And these are, they're just not experienced enough to know that.
You put 100K FTMO account next to that. I'll create the starter pack, put 100K FTMO account next to that. Tell everybody to backtest, be a backtest advocate. I swear to God, that is the Finnish trader today. And I'm not saying this to be abrasive. I'll be completely honest and truthful. If there was two or three other traders in here that had contradicting beliefs, I'm all for having your own beliefs, right? But there's an end line. Because if you let everybody have their own beliefs, look at the society in the world that we have today. You've got to stand for something. There's a fundamental truth, and then there's your truth, which is different. The fundamental truth is I'm holding a glass in my hand. Somebody else could turn around and say, I'm a dragon, right?
Could be.
Right? Don't bring me a dragon. Or you're not holding a glass in your hand. The sky's blue. We know that. Oh no, the sky's red, right? So there's a cognitive bias there. But there could be two of the three of the traders sat here with contradicting beliefs. And hand to my heart, I would happily debate and say that no, backtesting is not your way forward. No, don't just follow your trading plan, right? It's how you follow it. Follow it well. Do you even have a risk categorization element in your system or not? Universal, that's for everybody. These are basic things that you should be being taught. Why are you not being taught that? Number three, know your strike rate is not important. You're not going to have, say, Q1, I had a 72% strike rate and I made 50% return on investment. So if I have the exact same strike rate in Q2, I'm going to make there or thereabouts the same return. It doesn't work that way. So when I see people sat there saying, I'm going to this month focus on increasing my strike rate, and I'm going to do that by going back 3 years on euro dollar in July of 2018, and I'm going to figure out this particular thing. If I add that tweak into my trade, you see how it's all that there. So they will keep going down this rabbit hole. And eventually, as you said, humans only learn through trauma. So they either learn the hard way or the harder way in trading. Everybody chooses the harder way. So the market will keep giving you the same lesson over and over again in harder forms until you learn it. And then in the end, you'll look back at yourself and think, I actually was an idiot, wasn't I? Because I ignored it right in front of me. That you will be listening to this right now. People will be listening to this right now saying, yeah, I've heard it, whatever. Saturated, I get it. 3 days later, they'll go back to default. People always default back to their habits under pressure all the time. And 99% of people we know have got shit habits because they don't focus on it. They think, oh, you know, maybe trading's not about breathing, believing you make a million. I actually do agree. Having cold showers is not going to make you a million. It's part of the whole sequence. But they're going to go back 3 days later. They look at their account. I've not made any money yet. They look at some muppet on social media who's now scaled up to, you know, seven figures with 1,500 accounts. Right. And they look at that and think, you know, that could be me. That, how have they done it? Boom, 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 type. Let me have a look. Back test. All right, back to it again.
You just reminded me of something really important. I think why people get confused about the whole mindset side of things is like, when do I need to focus on it? Is it too early for me to focus on it? They're not thinking about the detrimental side of the more you don't focus on it and the worse habits you build, the more you have to unwire all of that rubbish when you actually realize, oh, I'm not making any money still. And I've got 5K of extra debt. I'm buying funded assessments on credit cards, whatever you're doing, taking out loans and shit. But the reality is, the reality is people do that. They've messaged us, say they like borrowing money and stuff. It's insane. But like, we think it's comical, but at the same time, like, I really feel for those people because I'm thinking, you must be in such a bad place to think, right, this is my
you caught me off guard with that one.
This is my next lottery ticket. But there's one caveat to that. People say, oh, Mark, you, he's finished.
He's done.
Every time I see Ibby, he just starts laughing. Like,
face the wall.
Yeah. Corner time.
I'm leaving this in, by the way.
The point I'm making is that technicals, to a degree, will fix some psychology. Because people misconstrued that. They go, right, so let's say if 90% is psychology and 10% is technical, and even though that's white noise, it doesn't matter about the number. It could be 92-8, it could be 80-20. You just know that overwhelmingly mindset is the part that takes you to the distance, right? Mm. It's going to make you the money long term. It's going to maintain your success. It does not mean that I advocate for having poor technicals.
Yeah.
It means that if it is 10% in terms of the relationship between mindset and technical analysis, trading plan, or whatever it is, it still means you need to know your shit. It still means that you need to understand your edge and your trading plan 100%. Doesn't mean this is not important. It's just that if you really think about it, there are millions of technical traders. If technicals were the thing, if that was the shit, if that was the thing that's going to make you lots of money, why are the stats the way that they are?
Exactly.
If that was the case, are you telling me that all these people that are learning to trade, all of them are Muppets? No, you've got lawyers, doctors, engineers. You've got very, very switched on, smart people, capable people. They understand fundamentals. They really understand the market, yet they still can't execute. So we know it's not that. So that's the interesting part to me, is that they think that when we talk about InFalcon a lot, you know, mindset's important, they misconstrued that and think, oh, that must be because you just don't value technicals. We value technicals. So they've not been on the inside of the webinar, the amount of detail that we go into candle by candle and really understanding price action to a high degree. All they see is, oh, you look for a three-touch channel. I'm like, you are nuts. You've seen a one line on YouTube and you think that's how we trade, which is insane. And the funny thing is, a lot of people that have traded this institutional style way, if you like, they've actually come into Falcon, like a decent portion of them, and then realize how many similarities. They're like, oh, I just called it this fancy term, but you're looking for the same shit. I was like, well, what did you expect?
That guy that you met at the Do Group thing.
Yes.
The
institutional trader, yeah.
The Elliott Wave trader, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah, Elliott Wave. And he worked there for like 22 years in the institution. And the funny thing is, you would have, I'm going to meet him in Switzerland and Dubai as well. The funny thing is, you would have thought that he's a Falcon member. Yeah. So when I was having a conversation with him, I was like, this must be a troll. Like, the way he's talking is like, these are the things that I'm talking about all the time. And even though I didn't have the same information, even though I didn't have the same data to go, right, this is where the banks are putting their money, or this is where the money's flowing into the markets or whatever. Intuitively, I already understood it anyway. All he said was, you're never going to get in at the same price because you can't do that, right? You don't have the same data, the same volume, which we all should, you know, universally understand. However, you can still ride the wave. So how you make money longer term, your system has to account for riding the wave of the bigger players. That's been Falcon 101 from day one.
Yeah.
Just because we use simple terms to describe what it is doesn't mean it's something else. Yeah. You know, a break of a high, you can call it whatever you want, but it's a break of a high and a break back in, right? We call it mass psychology, getting people caught on the wrong side. We can test our system for 30 years, right? People can throw shade about, oh, but I'm making bigger risk reward. Well, our stats on our fund show that over 90% of our traders get to the next stage to keep their accounts. Your stats show that you have a 1% chance of payout. So where would you want to position yourself?
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to position myself with that. I would want to be on that side. But we don't even go from that perspective. We're not out there attacking, saying our strategy is better or this. We always get the opposite. But
we've
the funny thing is, our stats are ridiculously good.
Yeah.
We could chat about them all day long.
It's interesting as well, because when you mentioned that, we've jumped on a few Zooms before and we've gone over trades we're looking at. Obviously, I only trade GU and EU. But we've gone over and like, never have you gone, what you're looking at. I'm like looking at GU short and you've gone, nah, it's long. 9 times out of 10, we're looking at the same thing.
Exactly.
Sometimes you've gone, did you get an EU? I think 2 months ago, you caught an EU short. I caught the exact entry.
Yeah, I remember.
EU short. And I remember saying to Mark, like, I've just caught the same type as Ibby. But people would assume that this terminology of, you know, bank and that and whatever it might be. And maybe it's what got me. Maybe I thought in the broken mind that I had that terminology made more sense to my brain because it was more of the bank. Oh, they move a lot of money. Oh, right. Okay, I'm going to follow that. But in reality, it's just a word for something that...
Do you know what cracked me up on that exact trade? I remember because I missed that position. There was an SMC group that mentioned about that position that they took and said, this is where retail traders or pattern traders would be caught on the wrong side.
And you got the same trade.
I was like, but we're taking the same side. So who the fuck is caught on the wrong side? If we're all on the same side... I'm so confused.
It's just a double top, man.
Yeah, it's just a double top.
Do you think nowadays it's more about building an audience online? So you've got to say stuff that, I guess, gets clicks.
You've got to say stuff to degrade other people.
Yeah,
that's it.
Because now having an audience is more valuable than actually being a trader. Because for me, someone that makes content, and I've been very open about this, I don't make anywhere near as much money making content as I do trading. So I'm just trying to understand, like, why do people put so much, like, representation on their audience and growing this kind of mass following based on
lost
things? Do you know what I mean?
Friends to everyone, loyal to no one.
Yeah.
I mean, I've experienced enough of that. Yeah, I agree. I think it's just interesting because unfortunately people get misled. And like, I always think about people who are coming into the industry. It's why I started the YouTube. It was that thing of, I got misled so much, even early on, like signals and all that sort of stuff. And I wanted to kind of be like, I guess this kind of beacon of like, oh, look, this is actually the reality of trading. Mm-hmm. So I've shared like blown accounts up. I've shared failing challenges. Because I think at the end of the day, I have a duty with an audience to like represent what trading actually is. And I think anybody listening, if you've got an audience of either 500 people, remember when you look through that lens, 500 people are taking what you say on board and they're going to use it to then, you know, structure their routine, their life, whatever it might be. So if you're speaking fluff or woo-woo to get views, you're having a detrimental effect to so many people out there. And I think everybody needs to hold themselves to that higher standard of, if you've got an audience, just push the right fucking message.
Exactly. Do you know a good way that you can test whether you should follow someone is if they tell you stuff in which that I have nothing to gain from you and it will be difficult to tell you, but they still tell you anyway.
Yeah, I love that.
That's how you know where someone has your best interest at heart.
Like we were literally talking about this on the way here because Ibby was saying, like, you know, when people might say to him about say pushing Falcon or Rewired or something. And it's not like you push it in a, you just push it from your sense and your position, right? And you're sort of like, I've got nothing to gain, because if you come into my circle, you're actually going to annoy me. Yeah. Like, you're going to piss me off and actually be a detriment. So there's no, I try and say this to people, I get countless of voice notes. Like, I opened my Instagram the other day, I had like 5 voice notes. Hey bro, I just wondered if you can give me some advice on this and that. And I'm like, no, not in a horrible way, but like, I've done that. I've given all my time to other people and it actually had a detrimental effect on me. So I've kind of gone back to that. I need to focus on me and again, scale, right people around me, and I'm growing. But I feel like you say, you've got no benefit to tell someone, go and work on your mindset. But what people do, and I've had this, because it's not like uncommon knowledge, I have a Rewired code in my bio, right?
Of course.
And a lot of people are like, oh, you're just pushing Rewired because you're making loads of money off it. And you know, and I'm like, that's such a stupid way to think.
You got 600K now.
Like, you really think I make more? People are like, you make your money off that. And like the other night, right? And this is just to throw it in there. I was at Gatwick coming home from London because it's the closest train station to me. So I went, oh yeah, finishing your night shift. And I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, you've been to work. You don't even trade. And you know, you're like, what is people's minds now? So because I've got a link and a YouTube channel, and I'm at Gatwick Airport, I don't trade anymore. I make all my money off that. And
you're like, a pilot. You're a pilot now.
I'm a pilot. Yeah. It's just mental. Like, but people's, that just shows me an emotional broken mind. Like, yeah. And they don't, I think everybody at home should ask yourself this, get a piece of paper and write down, do you genuinely believe you can be a consistent trader? Do you actually believe it's a thing you can do? Or do you think it's a fantasy? Because if it's a fantasy, go and do something else.
And the thing is about Rewired, we're not even touched on, which is on the 21st of July, which of course we got the first official Rewired meetup. Right, there's people that are trading strategies that they're not even close to Falcon, right? For example, you trade differently. There's other people that are trading Elliott Wave, different other traders that are in Rewired. The question we always get asked is, oh, do I have to trade Falcon? Like, no, think about it. You don't even trade the same way as us, and Rewired has helped you go from where you were to over 500,000 and so on. So if we can affect people's trading, but we don't even know how they trade, for example, why are people sleeping on it, right? Now, the more important thing is, price is going up, right? We've added so much more value. We've got Beyond Rewired coming out, which is specific funding psychology as well. There's like another layer to it, which, you know, the core modules has already like made a massive benefit on yourself. The other side of it is people will be saying, well, of course you're going to push your own course. Of course you're going to push Rewired. Yes, but what do I have to lose? Yeah. We've got people in there, right? What would I have to lose? Let's say, for example, you went through it. That's a risk. You could have gone through it and gone, this is shit. You could have gone on YouTube and gone, no, it's actually not that great. It's not worth it. Yeah. But I knew that it was going to change the game. The same way, there's not one person that I know, to my knowledge, that's come out and said, you know what? That was not worth my investment. People have saved money and made money. It's as simple as that. And if people are sleeping on it, 21st of July, it's going to go up. The opportunity is theirs. They can jump on it, not jump on it. There's a reason why the stats are so good. And I know there is nothing else in this entire space that comes close to it. And I'd happily debate any course that is going to come close to the sequence of the results this is proven.
Yeah, for facts. Honestly, I've said it on every other podcast, I'll say it again. I'm not going to turn around and say, yeah, guys, don't come to Falcon and don't try Rewired, because I'm just trying to be open and transparent with you and just say, try everything and whatever. Obviously, I'm going to say, come to Falcon, get Rewired, do all these things, because like you said, the risk that we run is people come in 3 months later and say we've not seen any benefit or change or anything like
reputation.
That. Reputation. Reputation's gone down the hill. So I say it very clearly, do it. I 100% guarantee, and I bet my life on this, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Any single person who comes into Falcon, if they follow the blueprint that we give, they have 100% chance of success. 100% chance. If they're not successful, they're not followed the blueprint correctly.
And also, look at the reputation risk that you take. Yeah. If you say, so people look at it as, oh, you're pushing Rewired, because it's benefited your life, right? You know it, you've lived and breathed it. And I can say, hand on heart, you've utilized it to one of the highest degrees that I've seen. Like, you've really taken it and dissected it to like such a high level. I can see you live and breathe it, which is the change, which is people started noticing, you started getting comments on YouTube saying, like, you seem like you're different, right? It's not a coincidence that that's happening. But what if it wasn't great? And then you told people to get it. They're investing their hard-earned money. You then have that risk. So if the fact that you're doing that and you're pushing it out there, probably because it's the shit. That's just the reality.
And I
want people on it because, yes, of course, it benefits us. But at the same time, it stops these people wasting 3-5K until they've got no money. They're like, John, what? If I would have just not done another 4 funded assessments, fix the issue and scale long term. Like, that's where it's at. If you want to trade your strategy, I don't care if you trade SMC. We've got no issue with how other people trade. I've got an issue with the ideology with how certain people trade when it comes to, you know, probabilities and risk 1 to 3, and they start playing with the numbers, start fucking around with that type of stuff. And then they encourage people to just keep hitting and hitting until they get the biggest reward. I don't think that's sustainable. Like, I don't think if you just take the average human, even if they go for rewired, that's still not going to fix someone's issue of taking 30 losses in a row. You're not going to go for rewired and go, right, now I'm equipped to take 40 losses in a row and that one trade is going to win. That's not what it's going to do for you. However, it will give you the framework to completely change your life. That, hands down.
No, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, just to throw in there, obviously, you know, for myself, I could have made hundreds of grand pushing some kind of crypto dodgy, bookie scams, right? And I've always kept my message clear. I will try something, I'll experience it, and then I'll give you my review, my experience, and I'll push it if I feel it will help you. And anyone that has used it and got it, they're messaging me in a couple of months. They're like, bro, I've just got funded. I've actually done the things I couldn't do, or my life at home's changed. I've had people message me saying their relationship's better or whatever it might be. So it's just a testimony to show that this is the thing people need to be getting involved in. Obviously, we've got the meetup coming up. Again, that's something you get when you join Rewired. You get to come to these meetups and be around like-minded individuals. Keep your eyes peeled, because I'm going to do a little vlog. I'm going to vlog the day and just get some kind of behind-the-scenes sort of stuff. So keep your eyes peeled for that. But just to wrap up, I just want to say thanks, gents, for coming on. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, likewise.
No, and I'll drop the links in the description for Mark and EB. Obviously, you probably already follow them, but if you don't, definitely check them out. And I'll catch you in the next one. Peace and love, gang.